Well, good evening. Welcome to our study in the book of Acts. We keep trekking right along. We'll be in Acts chapter 13 tonight. Acts chapter 13. Steve is in South Fayetteville tonight for a one-night speaking engagement, so be back Sunday. All right, I got this slide from Jeff. Let's just do a little quick review. Kind of what this is. Top half of this slide is where we are during this quarter. This quarter starts in Acts 1:1 and ends up in chapter 15, verse 35. So it begins with the ascension of Jesus, and then you got the establishment of the kingdom or the church and spreading around Jerusalem to the Jews and then out to Samaria. That Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So and the quarter then concludes with the first journey, which we'll start tonight, and ends up then in chapter 15 with what Jeff here called the Jerusalem Conference about circumcision. So we'll get to that. Unfortunately, Steve's gone for that class too, so here we go again. A couple of outlines for the book that Jeff's got on here is, if you look at it, like I just mentioned textually, Acts 1 through 7 is a spread in Jerusalem, and then 8 through 12 is Judea and Samaria, and the Gentiles are brought in, and then 13 starts the spread throughout the Roman world then. Breaking it out by the prominent apostle at the time, chapters 1 through 12 is Peter, and 13 through 28, Paul is the one that becomes more prominent as he will transition into him tonight. So, here we go. Spread it all or start that tonight. All right. Paul and Barnabas, we actually got to back up to the last verse of chapter 12. That's where we technically start tonight instead of 13. So, it says that Barnabas and Saul have returned from Jerusalem to Antioch, that's what it says, when they fulfilled their ministry and took John Mark with them. They had been in Jerusalem, we already had this back in chapter 11, because they had taken money to the church in Jerusalem because of the famine days of Claudius Caesar. Each disciple gave according to his ability. They took it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So that's where they were, and then they're going back to Antioch in the last verse of chapter 12. They had Mark with them. Steve did some introduction to Mark, or like the last class or class before, but he'll travel with them on the first journey, as you remember, but doesn't go all the way. He turns and goes back, brings up a discussion then between Barnabas and Paul about taking him on the second trip. Paul just will not do it. But later on, he did say, when he wrote to Timothy, near the end of his life there, that Mark is useful to me. So get him and bring him to me. So Mark did serve a very specific purpose, good purpose for Paul. Okay, verse 1. In the church of Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Their names, five of them here for us, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who'd been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So two of these we're very familiar with, the first being Barnabas. You remember Barnabas all the way back to chapter 4 when he was set in property and given to the apostles to take care of those who had need. He's a Levite. He's a native of Cyprus, which is where they'll be going in the study tonight. And his name is Joseph. We know him better as Barnabas, which is really his surname or nickname because of being a good exhorter or encourager, comforter to people. Simeon, called Niger. Niger in Latin is black. Some indication that he may have been from northern part of Africa with dark skin. Lucius from Cyrene. Manaen was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. King James Version said he was the foster brother of Herod. This is Herod Antipas, by the way, the ruler of Galilee and Perea, the one that Jesus stood before. The term foster brother is not found anywhere else in the King James Version. It's a very difficult word, apparently, to translate. Brought up with, also, according to the commentators, has a very indefinite meaning. So, not sure exactly what the relationship was. There's some speculation I read, but we'll leave it at that. And then Saul, of course, is a native of Tarsus, pupil of Gamaliel, chief persecutor, and converted to Christ after he had appeared to him on the road to Damascus. If you look at verse 2, where he says, "And as they ministered," there are very few times in the scriptures that I'm aware of that God called lazy people, idle people, to do anything. It seems most always when he had a task for somebody to go do, he called somebody who was busy. And it seems that's the same with these men here as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." So the Holy Spirit had a special work for Barnabas and Saul to go do. We're not told at this point what it is. We'll see it as it unfolds here. So the question here is, when the Holy Spirit said this, separate me Barnabas and Saul, who's he talking to? Who's the Holy Spirit speaking to? Could be these five, and say separate from these five to me, these two, and I got to work for them. I think, personally, more likely it is the church in Antioch he's speaking to, saying separate me out, Barnabas and Saul. So who sent them on the trip? If you jump ahead and look down at verse 3, "Then having fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Again, it could be the five, I guess, but they seems to be more of the church doing it. And the reason I say that, if you go way past this, to when they came back from this journey, in Acts chapter 14, they gathered the church together to report all they had done there. So it seems that the church, Holy Spirit said, "Separate me from you, out from you, Paul and Saul, Barnabas and Saul." It is. We're gonna flip it in a minute. And then the church sent them, and when they got finished, they went back then and reported to the church what they had done. So I have to deviate for just one slide here for just a minute. If you're looking in your Bible, I don't know what it's got, if it's got divisions in there, breakouts. Very common in a lot of them to say Barnabas and Saul began their first missionary journey. We understand how we use that term if somebody's going on a missionary journey. Some others use it in a way that maybe it's not exactly how we use it. Some of you know Wayne Partain, some don't. Wayne has been on numerous journeys to Mexico and Central America and South America and Spain. Still does 5 Zoom classes a week into some of these countries. He wrote this paragraph. He said that from a missionary journey, he said the word is used a lot, not only by sectarians, but also by our brothers. What does it mean, the word missionary? What does the word missionary mean? Is it a biblical term or concept? Should it be used? Should it be avoided? It's not a biblical word, so it's not found in Bible dictionaries if you go look up there. LaRouse, and I don't know who that is. I did look it up. He is a Spanish commentator. Defines the word mission as, and he gives two definitions here, the journey that evangelical preachers take to spread religion, so One definition is the journey itself. Number two is the place where missionaries preach or live. When he says, many brethren use the word missionary in the sense of the first definition. That is, simply refers to a journey that preachers make to preach. But the second definition establishes a more accurate meaning of the word. A mission is a place, more than a place, some an organization, and often there is a function of, has headquarters for a certain country. Preachers come to that country, establish their mission, go out and preach. Money is sent to the mission to support these preachers and other works that they do. So the term mission. So the question I would ask then is, do we or others go to establish a mission when we go on a missionary journey? Well, no, not normally. But in the case where they are and they send money to the mission, how are they supporting the preachers that they're supporting? They're sending it to this mission to be given to the preachers. How do we support our 25 plus preachers? Either full-time or part-time. Well, we send money to the preacher. Now, I bring all this up because as we watch, particularly the next quarter of Acts unfold, we'll see this pattern established. When Paul gets into the epistles, he talks about this, that church is sent once and again to his needs, sent to money to him, not to the concept that's used by many of the religious bodies around us. So let's get on this journey. Verse 4. So they being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. From there they sailed to Cyprus. Of course, they is going to be actually three people we'll see in a minute. Antioch is not a seacoast town. It's on the Orontes River. Seleucia is the seaport. So they go to there and they catch a ship and they sail to Cyprus, landing in Salamis. So in Salamis, they go into the synagogue of the Jews, which was a very common practice of Paul to find a gathering there. Verse 5, they arrived in Salamis, preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. They had John Mark with them. So again, over and over we'll see Paul going, often as he goes into a new town, to the synagogue of the Jews. Why? Because he knows there's going to be a gathering there, an opportunity to speak. Perhaps the Jews in that synagogue don't know about Christ. They're practicing the Old Testament Judaism. So he goes there to find someone he can speak to. We do know from Acts chapter 11 already, we covered that the gospel has already gone to Cyprus. After the persecution that arose over Stephen, one of the places listed that it went to in 11:19 is Cyprus. So the gospel has gone to this island. It's a little bit about the island, real quickly, from a website called Taste Cyprus. It measures 224 kilometers, that's about 140 miles. Long from end to end, 96 kilometers at its widest point. Albert Barnes says the distance from Salamis to Paphos, which they're about to make here, 172 miles. If you do a Google Map look up on it and say how long is the distance, driving distance from Salamis to Paphos, it's 133 miles. So maybe the roads have been improved, the distance is shorter, whatever. 133 miles to give you something to latch on kind of to. Take the state of Alabama, look at the Mississippi line, the Georgia line, or you flip it around, Mississippi line, Georgia line, and come down to about Cullman and go from border to border, you're looking at about 130 miles, roughly, just straight across. So it'll tell you about how long it was from Salamis to Paphos as they go there to preach. John Mark is their helper. He's with them on this journey at this point. We said he'll turn back later. Verse 6, when they'd gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Three things we know about this man from this verse, other than his name. Name is Bar-Jesus. He's a Jew, he's a sorcerer, and he's a false prophet. So those factors come into play as we move on into the rest of the lesson. So he's a Jew, and what does he know about Christ and Christianity? Christ has been preached to the island. He'll know anything about that. He's refused to accept it. We're not telling that, any of that. This is a Jew, the sorcerer, and his name is Bar-Jesus. Sorcery is listed in Galatians 5 as a work of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. It's also condemned in numerous passages in the Old Testament. One of them being Exodus 22:18. It says, you shall not permit a sorceress to live. So it was something as far as the Old Testament and New Testament, as far as Jews or Christians, was prohibited. But Lord Jesus is a Jew, and he is a sorcerer, and he's a false prophet. Verse 7, we're introduced to a man named Sergius Paulus. Bar-Jesus is with the proconsul, who is the ruler of that area that has been set up by Rome. Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. And this man called for Barnabas and Saul and wanted to hear the word of God. Here's Sergius Paulus. A couple of questions kind of come to mind. If he was an intelligent man, why would he have Bar-Jesus in his company? The sorcerer and a false prophet. Well, the commentators I looked at used the word prudent man instead of intelligent man. He was a prudent man. It goes on to say that why would he believe what Bar-Jesus was saying? The Sergius Paulus was open-minded, means he investigated things. Prudent. He wanted to accept the truth, the good, the beneficial, from whatever source it was. So he's trying to find what that source is that's going to give him the truth, the things that may be beneficial to him. And now, he wants to hear the word of God. Probably, at this point, for the same reason. It's because he wants to hear things that might make him wiser, that might be beneficial to him. He's an open-minded man. So it gave great opportunity for Paul and Barnabas to speak to him. There are very few prominent men these days that seem to want to listen to the truth being taught. We already had the man of Ethiopia, who was a man of great authority under the queen. Later on, Paul would get to speak to Felix and Festus and Agrippa. And then they were also told that there were a number of Caesar's household that he converted when he was in Rome. So Paul did have an occasion to speak to some prominent people. And he begins here, I guess, maybe with this man here, Sergius Paulus. Now I'm zipping through here, so somebody's got a comment. Doug usually does a commenting, so he's not here. Andy, if you'd like to speak up, right ahead. So Doug's one of the ones that talks, and he's not here. Fred is one of the ones that talks. He's not here, I see. So I have many speakers. So why would he have Bar-Jesus in his company? Well, he wanted to learn things. So why would he want to hear Saul and Barnabas? He wanted to learn things. He's open-minded. He wanted to gather information. He's just looking for something that'd be beneficial to him. But verse 8. Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is by translation, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So Elymas is not his name. His name is Bar-Jesus. Elamus is an interpretation, it's an Arabic word, it's an interpretation of the word sorcerer. So that's where the word Elamus comes from. It's not from his name, but from, it's kind of like Barnabas. His name came from what he did, encouragement to the people. And his name here is from his sorcery. So why not hear Barnabas and Saul? Why does Elamus not want the proconsul to hear what Paul and Barnabas, or Barnabas and Saul, just want have to say? Well, maybe he would expose him as a false prophet. He would lose his popularity with the proconsul if he learned the truth as opposed to his false prophet. And just maybe his source of income. If all that's tied to his relationship with the proconsul, tied to his relationship with this prominent ruler, then to lose that would put him out and probably just turn him away in the eyes of the people as well as in that of the of Sergius Paulus. So he's got a lot to lose. So he's trying his best to stop them from talking to him. Verse 9. Then Saul has called Paul. All my life I've heard Saul's name was changed to Paul. Well, Steve mentioned it the other night, and I already had it in my notes, but that's not really what seems to happen. Saul is his Hebrew name. Paul is his Roman name. So he's now away from the area where he would be using his Hebrew name. He's up in the area where he would be using his Roman name. So now we're going to go with Paul. But we're also going to reverse the order now, the Holy Spirit is. And instead of Barnabas and Saul, it's going to be Paul and Barnabas. There's one or two exceptions through the rest of the book of Acts, but most of the time from here on, it's going to be Paul and Barnabas did this, and not Barnabas and Saul. So Paul looked intently, verse 9, looked intently at Elamus. I got your attention. I'm looking at you. I am talking to you. He's got something very specific to say to Elamus. Verse 10. And he said, now, back up. Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. So keep in mind, what he's saying here is coming from the Holy Spirit. Okay. O fool of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight way of the Lord? So look what he said to him. Look at the words all. Oh, full of all deceit, all fraud, enemy of all righteousness, full of deception. Of course, Elamus knew he was a deceiver. That's what sorcery was. It's a way to deceive people. All iniquity, vileness or fraud, you son of the devil, Bar, which most of you know means son, so his name would be son of Jesus, Bar Jesus, not Jesus the Christ. Paul changed his name. Instead of calling him Bar Jesus, he calls him you son of the devil, which means slanderer. He's under the influence of the devil. He practiced deception. Use the arts of the devil. He was a liar like the devil, John 8:44. Enemy of all righteousness. Fraud and deceit are about the opposite of integrity and truth. Elamus was full of fraud and deceit. enemy of righteousness. Will you not cease to overturn the ways of the Lord? Selfishness, selfish ideas that he's been dealt with here. What's to be done with such a man as Adolphus? How are you going to deal with him? Here's a wise man who wants to hear the gospel. That is the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. He respected and listened to Bar-Jesus or Adolphus up to now, but now he's preventing him here from hearing Paul and Barnabas. So Paul and Barnabas has got a delicate situation to deal with. But you can't always deal with situations like this with kid's gloves. He rebuked him. He rebuked him strongly at the direction of the Holy Spirit. Paul said the work of elders for Titus 1:10-11. Sometimes you have to stop the mouths of certain individuals that shouldn't be listened to. That's what Paul did here. He stopped the mouth of Adolphus. Verse 11, indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you. You should be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. Immediately, that's where we see a lot of times when Jesus is doing miracles, immediately. Immediately a dark mist fell on him. He went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. So Paul dealt with someone who would prevent him from preaching the gospel to this man. So, verse 12. This is our last verse for tonight. We've got a lot of time left. So again, I'm open to comments. Verse 12. The proconsul believed. When Paul had removed the obstacle that would prevent him from hearing the truth, he believed the truth as Paul and Barnabas presented it to him. He believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. So they exposed Adolphus as an impostor. He was astonished with the teaching of the Lord. And notice it was done with a sign. Paul did this to Adolphus, made him blind. You imagine what kind of impact that would have had on Sergius Paulus. But that's not something that we're not familiar with. If you go back to Mark 16, verse 20. They went out preaching everywhere. This is right after the Great Commission was given. The Lord's working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs that they gave them. So Jesus gave them signs to show his teaching was the truth. We see this again with Paul lots of times, but one place, when they're in Iconium, stayed there a long time, boldly speaking and granting signs and wonders the Lord did by their hands. So signs are going to be done, just as Jesus said they would. Paul has used one here, and it's had an effect on the proconsul who believed. So, where from here? What happens? Well, we mentioned in Acts 1 and verse 8 when we started that you be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Well, Jerusalem and Samaria have already been, the gospel spread out to those areas. As far as Antioch, we know it's been to Cyprus, and now Paul and Barnabas are going to begin this journey that will spread it even farther. To the extent that Paul said later on in his life that it had been preached to the entire world, Colossians 1, verse 23. Jimmy, I'm down to pumping sand. Jimmy has an expression, if he runs out of material before the bell rings, if I said they else, I'd be pumping sand. That's about the way I am now. We didn't have 13 little verses to cover tonight. So it was short. I hope we've done an adequate job of introducing this first journey Gideon, Paul, and Barnabas started out. They moved now from here up into Antioch, Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and then backtracking, we'll wind up back in Antioch, as we said in Acts chapter 14. Stephen should be back Sunday and Wednesday to finish out this journey, and then he's gone again when we get to Acts chapter 15. So the 27 pages of notes for Acts 15 are laid on my couch. All right, comments, thoughts from somebody? Anybody? Got a mighty quiet crowd tonight.
Say it again.
That's why I brought that up. That back in Mark 16, it was said that it was going to be done.
Right.
And we see it continuing as Paul goes on his journeys later on. Yeah. I don't know of anything else before that. So perhaps the first put Mark up. Yeah. Let me go blank here. Mike is saying that this is the first time we're aware of that Paul has said he did a sign, a miracle. So, all right, we've got 7 more minutes to time for the bell, so we have plenty of time if somebody's got a thought. Yes. That's first verse. This list of men that were mentioned there as prophets and teachers. I point out they were busy men. The Holy Spirit had a work for them to do. Tell me who he might have been speaking to. This is my comments about it. I'll send you the slides.
Okay.
As Lynn always asks, can I get a copy of your slides? Okay. So, or anything else? I don't have anything else. Okay. Who you send the money to, how it's distributed, whatever. The only reason I brought this up tonight, it's the beginning of the first journey. So I want to point out that as it unfolds through the rest of Acts and into the epistles, then we'll see a pattern of how Paul was supported, as opposed to sending to another church or something else to support him. That's why I put this slide out.